Welcome to Taboo and Turn On. I'm your host, Natalie Bartanian, and this is a podcast where we have real talk about real things, where we shed light on taboo topics and explore what it truly means to live a turned on life. I'm so glad you've joined, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Music by bensound.com. Hey everyone, so today I have with me a dear friend and colleague and client, and I'm not gonna lie, I know they say don't choose favorites or don't say who are your favorites, but she's kind of my favorite. her name is you're like my perfect ideal client. But her name is Emily Perkins. She's a holistic life coach. She's an esthetician. She's a Reiki master. She's very, very in tune energetically. And one of the things we talk about a lot in our sessions, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring her on so that we could have this conversation and really dive in around this, is around this exploration of our likes, our wants, our needs, our desires sexually, and really this conversation around what makes you feel sexy. What is it to be a sexual being? So with that, welcome Emily, and thank you so much for wanting to be a part of this conversation.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited and honored. Yeah, thank you so
you're
much.
Welcome. And I don't know why my heart started beating really fast, so mm-hmm. Okay.
Mine too.
I'm like, is it you? Is it me? I don't know. This is exciting and scary, and here we go.
All right. Woo.
Yeah, so first I just wanted to get a sense from you of kind of what your journey has been like of even having exploration around your wants and needs and desires sexually.
It's been a really beautiful process. I kind of had a moment last week in the shower, weirdly, where I kind of realized that I think a big piece of my purpose and path and karma on this planet and in this lifetime is to explore sexuality and my sexuality and really do some really beautiful healing work over the past 10 to 12 years. That's kind of led me to this space and led me to you, and kind of like this new realm of exploration of who I am as a sexual woman and what I want, and, you know, like outside of anything socially acceptable or not acceptable, or like the shoulds, or, you know, how I was raised or any of that, like just allowing myself to be with what I really, really want and desire, and want to explore and experience sexually. So it's been a pretty beautiful process, really of a lifetime that I think is really going to continue on and get even deeper and fuller.
What were your biggest roadblocks when you started the exploration? Because I know that you see it as beautiful now, but I'm sure there were things along the way that didn't feel so fucking beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a fair amount of sexual trauma in my history, for sure. When I was a teenager, I was sexually assaulted, and then some trauma that I experienced within my marriage, you know, not from him, but just in the experience of our intimate life. But there were roadblocks in that, and obviously created in how I experienced sex and intimacy. But honestly, some of the roadblocks are also totally in my head. You know, like I have a lot of that inner dialogue that I think a lot of women do about, like, what do I look like right now? Like, what do I smell like? What do I taste like? What do I, you know, am I doing this right? Am I making enough noise? You know, like all of the funny little things that really just get in the way of me actually experiencing sex and intimacy and being connected into my body. And I'm still working with that.
Yeah. I know, it definitely makes me think of this transition that kind of happens from a very kind of textbook way of approaching sex and what we think we should want, right? The shoulds, what we think, what magazines tell us, what mm-hmm. people tell us, what is a perception of a woman in her sex, to kind of stripping it all away and asking that question, like you said, like, wait, but who am I? And what do I want? And it kind of requires, did this happen for you, of just having to just strip it all back and be like, I can't listen to or believe any of it, so that I can kind of find my own voice in this?
Yeah. While at the same time, like, getting curious about things that I was like watching or reading or talking about with my friends, like somehow pieces of stuff like piqued my curiosity, and I was like, ooh, like, what if I do want to try being in a throuple, or what if I do want to try a sex party, or like stuff that piqued my interest that I honestly would never have even thought about because I didn't have that space or the consciousness to let mm-hmm. myself go there, because I was still kind of in the shoulds.
Right, because if I were to explore that, what would that mean?
Yeah.
What would that mean for you?
Now, in the space that I am now?
I guess both. When yeah. you first started asking yourself this question, right? Like, what would it be like to maybe... And I assume when you say throuple, that's like three people in a relationship?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think when I first started thinking about it, there was more of a fantasy around it. Like, oh, you know, that's you know, an interesting idea. And then the more I consciously thought about, like, what it would actually be like, and would I be okay with it, and would I enjoy it and be comfortable, and all of the dynamics that come with being in a relationship with one person, like, how would that play out with three people? So in the beginning, it was kind of more of, like, a fantasy and, like, a, you know, like, an idea. Yeah. And then as I started to think more about it and really try to be really open and honest with myself, it became more of a possibility. I'm still not sure if it is something I want, but just having the space to actually think about it and get curious about it is so freeing.
Mm-hmm. Because in that place, are you saying, I may or may not do this, but I have permission to want to pursue it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, there wasn't anything holding me back from it. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no should, there was no judgment or fear even really around it. It was just like, okay, cool. This is an idea. Mm-hmm. I might enjoy this. I don't know.
Yeah. 'Cause I feel like that's been the thing that's really helped me in a lot of my exploration, is permission to not like it also. Permission mm-hmm. to try it out and say, that's not for me. You know, because I feel like there was a lot of pressure in, oh man, when I start this and I open this door, I'm just going to go down that rabbit hole and not feel like I had a say and that I could change my mind mm-hmm. because I might. Like, I had never had a threesome before, and granted, I haven't had one with my partner bringing in a third, but when I had it, I was the third with my friend and her boyfriend at the time, and I had no idea if I would like it or not, or how I would feel, or if I would get jealous, or, you know, there's just so many things that you just don't know going in. Mm-hmm. But I thought, well, let me just try it and see. And then I may think it's the coolest thing, and I may not. And that's okay. Either one. Totally okay.
Yeah. And there's so much freedom in that, and just like, and having the space to just explore and find out, do you like it? Do you not like it? You know, and have the the freedom to choose. It's a pretty awesome and empowering thing.
What do you think has helped you in that, the shedding of the shoulds?
I think honestly, the thing that drove me from the very get-go, and the thing that, that I think attracted me and drew me to you, other than the power of spirit, was really fully wanting to embody and experience my own sensuality and sexuality and be like fully empowered in it. And inside of that came a whole lot of healing. Mm-hmm. But I know that that drive and that really deep desire to be fully expressed and powerful and healthy in my own sexuality is what kind of has opened up all of this new space of healing, exploration, and totally stripping down the shoulds.
So it was in this kind of the drive or the desire to know yourself sensually was greater than, I'm hearing, the kind of constraints of the shoulds, mm-hmm. or the fears maybe even around it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Like that desire within me was like, just exploded all of that stuff and was like, fuck it. I'm going to try it all. Well, I haven't tried it all, but it opened up the space for more.
When I'm even thinking about the way that even in that exploration, there's just a lot of judgment around, you know, what, and I'm curious how you kind of contend with this, the identity of a sexual being, but also if I like rough sex, what does that mean about me? Or if I, if I like kink, or if I like a threesome, or if I like sex parties or swinging, like what does that mean about me? And that kind of this mind fuck that happens sometimes around our desires being separate than our identities.
I mean, I think that's part of what stopped me for so long in exploring that, all of these new areas, you know, is that judgment, that self-judgment of like, okay, well, you know, if I am attracted to women or want to explore what it looks like to be with a woman, does that mean that I am a lesbian? Mm-hmm. Or does that mean that I am dot, dot, dot? And, you know, I think it's funny because even as you were talking about it, like, I really think that consciously choosing to really empower my sexuality, it kind of got rid of so many of those self-doubt and judgments about what it would mean if I did. Oh. Because I'm just in this space where I'm like, this is what I want. This is where I am in my life. And it's a beautiful thing. Hmm. And because it was so conscious and empowered, a lot of that, you know, back chatter or judgment just didn't really show up that much.
I wonder why that is. Is it the feeling like you get to have pleasure, or what was it that kind of, I guess, empowered you in that way?
I think it was the choosing of it. Like I think it was in the power of saying and really passionately choosing, I am going to create this time in my life to be completely about exploring my sexuality and me and being fully empowered in it. And in that, it just kind of quiets a lot of that stuff. I mean, you know, even this week I had a little bit of it pop up when I was like, man, I'm, you know, I've been with quite a few people lately.
With the shame that was coming up around it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's not to say that it's not there at all, but the power within my choice is deeper than the judgment that pops up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I could see that. And I know, yeah, because first of all, whoever's listening, I highly recommend Sexploration. I mean, I had a full year of it where it was my New Year's resolution that this year I would choose to explore my edges and experience things and experiment with things and just give that part of my life and my being attention, because we give so many of the other parts of our lives attention and all those goals and dreams and wishes and achievements. But I just realized, wow, but I never really put that much focused attention on my sex, on, like you said, exploring what I like or what I don't like, or being in my body in this way, feeling pleasure, or even figuring out what is pleasure. Maybe I've never actually had pleasure. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about like the very, when it, you know, I think right before you and I started working together, I was like exploring just the beginning parts of like, like what makes me feel super sexy. Because mm-hmm. like that was like me starting to dip my toes in the water.
Yeah.
And, you know, I realized, oh, I feel super fucking sexy when I am at the gym. Like, oh. I just feel super hot and strong and sweaty and sexy. And it's been a really great tool for me to like start feeling that energy, feeling my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then dancing is always another one where I just feel totally sexy and empowered. But it was cool to start just like at least reaching my toes out into that and then seeing all this beautiful like wave of stuff that came after it.
Wow. Well, I think that's such a beautiful intro question, Emily, around what makes me feel sexy. And again, it's not for anybody else. It's for you, for you to be in that energy, in that sex energy, in that turn on energy, in that kind of just aliveness that I think sexuality brings.
Yeah, it kind of like lights your fire, literally. Mm-hmm. You know, like it, just in tuning into that, it shifted my energy so that I was I was picking people up at the gym, and you know, which wasn't even truly about what it was about. It was about like just this 1 hour of me feeling completely in my body and attractive and sexy and powerful. And it's still my favorite part of the day. I'm still doing it. But it does, it like lights a fire that kind of creates a whole new energy within you.
Yeah, I remember when I asked myself that, one of the things was realizing my wardrobe was completely antithesis to sexy. And so I just went through and picked up every article of clothing, and I would try it on and I would ask myself, do I feel sexy in this? Does this make me feel good? Does this make me feel confident? And if the answer was no, I would chuck it, you know, donate it. But it was this moving through and really wanting to align the outside with the inside. And because it does, like outside things can help you feel sexy. And obviously sexy can come from the inside out as well. But I just really wanted to feel aligned in that way. And also, are my clothes really representing who I see myself as, which is a sexual being, a sexy woman, a powerful woman, a beautiful woman?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. As you were talking about that, I like remembered this vivid memory of going to Old Navy and getting all new workout clothes. And it was a game changer. Mm-hmm. You know, like I felt amazing in my new workout clothes.
Yeah.
And it just makes a huge difference. Yeah. I totally resonate with that.
Yeah. Another thing that I have my ultimate sexy chill playlist on Spotify. Music, right? Like, so sometimes I'll dance because I definitely am with you on the dancing. Totally. But sometimes it's just to put it on and I'll have dimmer lights in the room, in my bedroom, and I will just soak in the vibe, like soak in the music, soak in the energy. And I think even that gives for me a space to even allow myself to think about, ooh, what would I want the next time I'm with a partner? Or, oh, this is like totally turning me on. Like, what would I do? You know, and just kind of even like setting the space and the tone to even kind of ask myself those questions, you know?
Oh, totally. I do the same exact thing. So it's so funny that you say that, because I turn on like weirdly my Himalayan rock salt lamp, because it has like this, you know, pretty glow.
Yep.
And I light some incense, and it's usually after the gym or before the gym or whatever. Yeah. And yeah, the music is like instant turn on.
Yeah. So I feel like that's such a great, again, kind of question for us to all roll around is, you know, what are the things that make us feel sexy? And if we don't know that, what are the things that will help us figure that out, right? Help in this exploration, because so much of this is around letting yourself explore, letting yourself daydream and fantasize and see what's possible if you were to free yourself from the kind of shackles of the sexual shoulds and society and religion and your family. I mean, there's just so fucking much that, you know, kind of influences what we should and shouldn't do when it comes to sex.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's for, at least personally for me, it's probably some of the deepest freedom I've ever felt within myself, you know, just offering this blank space of like, hey, all right, what do you want? You know, like even down to like my vibrator broke and I was so upset about it. And then I was like, okay, like this is a great opportunity for you to actually get in touch with your body and figure out what you like and what feels good. And I vividly remember my mother telling me at the age of 16, Emily, you have to know how to get yourself off so that you can teach somebody else.
Wow. Your mom actually said that? Amazing.
At 16 years old. So 16 year old me was like, Mom.
Right.
But, you know, she's right. And it took me a long time to get to a place where, you know, I was even just comfortable enough with my body and patient enough with my body to really do it myself. And so, yeah.
Wow. I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I never used vibrators or dildos or anything like that. And to the point where I'm like, I probably should start kind of exploring that with that, because A, my forearm's not going to be able to like last forever. Just like the guy equivalent to like your wrist hurting. I'm like, so just ergonomically, I'm going to need to like look into other alternatives. But also just there's this kind of, I have some stuff around that of like there, I don't know if it's like, it's an artificial way of doing it, because I don't mind the idea of toys, but for whatever reason, I just haven't felt like they worked for me. And that was so long ago that I had one or two experiences of trying it and feel like, this is way too much. Like, this is like way too powerful, way too much sensation. And who actually enjoys this? You know? And so I was like, forget it. Never again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, and I love having these conversations because every woman does have like such a cool and unique and different experience. But like, you know, myself and a couple of my friends that have had vibrators forever, like it's challenging and sometimes really frustrating at first to try and figure out how to get yourself off without it.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Because you're so used to that intense stimulation. So yeah, it's such a beautiful part of exploring, you know, and I was really weirdly grateful that my vibrator broke because it gave me this excuse and reason to like be patient with myself and like, you know, really explore my body and what feels good.
Yeah. I'm curious about, because I know, like you said, you've had sexual trauma in the past. And so that feels like, wow, to go from that kind of a jump to sexual liberation and pleasure, I can only imagine that process, what that must be like. But I'm curious about what that's been like for you. Because I know not everyone has had trauma, but I feel like we've all had experiences of being either really disappointed or feeling like, you know, we kind of sold ourselves out in some way or some version of a trauma, mm-hmm. right, around sex. And I'm just curious what your experience was like to kind of overcome that hump and then come to the other spectrum.
Yeah, it's been about 10 or 12 years, honestly, of different levels of work. I worked with therapists in the beginning, and some were helpful, some less so. Some of the biggest and deepest release that I really found with it was energetic. Mm. When I was working, I was staying in Guatemala at this beautiful spiritual lake with two of my best girlfriends, and I went there with the intention of doing really deep work. Mm. And that was definitely incredibly powerful, energetically, emotionally, physically. I mean, I was, not to get too graphic, but like I was releasing out of every hole.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I knew what it was about. I knew what it, you know, what was releasing, and was lucky enough to have two beautiful friends that are healers supporting me in it. And then, you know, a lot of choosing it, lot of choosing to heal it, choosing to be with it, choosing to look at it. It was definitely not always easy, and sometimes really, really, really emotional and deep and dark and hard, and tons of triggers that I had to get really conscious of. But I think a lot of it was, again, the fact that I wanted to heal it. And that's really when I was able to kind of get to a clear place with it. And then after that, writing about it and writing about my own process and my own experience, and then seeing how many other women were like, yeah, something similar happened to me, or this happened to me, or I was raped too, you know, like having that connection and seeing how it opened up the door for other women to talk about it was just as healing as crapping my brains out on the porch of Guatemala. You know, like that was really beautiful and powerful for me.
Got it. You're like, you don't have to have diarrhea in order to heal, guys. I mean, you can. That might help, but also some dialogues with other people.
Yeah, I think I'd rather go that route from now on.
Sure. The lengths to which we will go to heal.
It's true.
Wow. Yeah. And what do you feel like in that sense was the biggest part around the sharing and beginning to talk about it with other women that helped really kind of accelerate that process for you?
I think part of it was getting it out of my body and stop making it this big, horrible secret.
Okay.
You know, there was so much fear around it and what it meant and how people were going to respond to it and how they were going to feel about it, or how, you know, what they were going to think about me, or, you know, there was just all of this like fear and hesitation, and like this, I created it in my head as this, which it was absolutely trauma, but, you know, I had created it as this big, deep, dark secret that I just had to stow away. And in bringing it to the light and sharing it and creating all this connection with other women, it it became less heavy. Yeah. It became less weirdly significant and allowed me to just release it as an energetic part of my story instead of who I was. You know, I was making it a part of who I was for so long.
Again, the identity versus the act or the just incident. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that just speaks so beautifully too to, again, the power of speaking it and releasing any kind of shame around it. And so both in the speak your desires, speak your insecurities, speak the things that you think are taboo, speak the things that you think that are your turn-ons, because so much of that, I mean, it does help us to kind of put it in a space of neutrality in a way. Like, it's not right or wrong. It's not good or bad. It is what it is. And you get to make it what it is in a lot of ways, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I recently have been having with this exploration, I've been having so many great conversations with some of my best female friends. And again, like that space of like, oh my God, you have that fear too. Like, oh my gosh, like you like that kind of porn too.
Right.
Like, oh my God, you have that weird ass fantasy that you totally judge all the time. Oh, okay.
Oh, me too.
I'm not that much of a freak.
I know. I still had that kind of, I still remember the time I had that conversation with a girlfriend of mine where we both had a very, like you said, very similar kind of fantasy that we would have in our heads, like when we masturbated. And I thought I was the only one. And I had so much like weird thoughts and feelings around that and felt so bad about it. But just the fact that she did too, I was like, oh my God, I'm not alone. Like, I'm not the only one.
Totally. Yeah. It creates so much connection and it frees you from your own stuff of like, oh my God, I'm so wrong for feeling that or wanting that or thinking that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I feel like we could have another half an hour conversation about this, but I really do need to kind of wrap this up. But wow, thank you. Because I feel like just even this conversation again is just bringing a lot of permission into the space around us being able to talk about what we like, explore what we like, talk about what has us feel sexy, explore those things, and even to explore the shadow around it too. Because again, if we don't look at the shadows and the shame and the taboos, how can we ever be freed up enough to even let ourselves explore the turn on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the power in choosing it, like in choosing your sex and choosing the exploration and in choosing your body and empowerment and all of it. Absolutely.
So my dear, we'll definitely have your information in the show notes, but here's the floor if you want to let people know how they can get a hold of you, how you do serve, you know, what your form of magic is. You have the floor.
Oh, well, you know, my practice is called Love Living Holistics, and everything I do is really has that foundation, that thread, that energy of love in it. A big part of my practice is healing work and Reiki and kind of like what I call a conversation with souls. And then the beauty work is infused with love. There's energy work in everything I do. And then my coaching practice, which is also my beautiful baby that I just adore. And you can find me through my website, which is super easy. It's loveliving.holistics.com. And I love working with women. I love working with men. But, you know, anybody that's really looking to explore themselves and their own light and their own magic and have a conversation with their soul.
I love that. I love it. Thank you so much for being with me today and having this conversation. I mean, it does speak to how far you've come that you are willing to even have this conversation on a bigger platform.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for offering me the space to do it. And obviously for being your amazing self. I'm so lucky and grateful to have you as my coach and friend.
Oh, thanks, Emily. I love you too. And there you have it, folks, our first official episode of Taboo and Turn On with the ever gracious and beautiful Emily Perkins. I really hope our conversations about our own sexplorations inspires you to explore for yourself and see about the confidence and power and freedom and sexiness that can come from that place of you knowing what you want and what makes you feel good and sexy. Also, would love, love, love if you'd be able to leave a rating or a review on iTunes. It really helps in the first 8 weeks to bump this puppy up to the new and noteworthy listing so that more ears hear these conversations. So please, if you could take a moment, leave a review or a rating, that would be amazing. And lastly, if you would like support around your own exploration, around your own process about finding turn-on in your life, in whatever area of your life, definitely reach out. You can go to my website, thisturnedonlife.com or tabooandturnon.com, and look at the donation coaching section. I am offering that through the end of September and would love to support you. Hope to hear from you soon.